my bits there. Oh, praise the Lord. What beautiful worship. We could just sit here all day and worship God, couldn't we? It's so wonderful to be in his presence and to know Emmanuel, God is with us. But the main thing I'm going to talk about today is about how God is not just with us, but God is in us. And recognizing who he is in us is one of the most important things that we can do in our Christian life. But first of all, I need a little bit of help. I wonder if there are many people who've been a Christian over 20 years here. I know there are. I know there are lots. Okay, so I think I'll be all right. Okay, do you know this song? I've got the life of God in me. I've got the life of God in me. I've got his life, his nature, and his ability. I've got the life of God in me. No. Well, there you are. We can only try. Right. What about? I've got the victor living in me. I've got the victor living in me. I'm not moved by what I see or feel. I've got the victor living in me. And I will sing, and I will dance, I will rejoice, for the battle is the Lord's. There's no defeat in our ranks, because the victor's won the war. No. It's all right. Did anyone know that? No. Right. I know you know this one. Rejoice, rejoice, Christ is in you, the hope of glory in our hearts. He lives, his breath is in you. Arise, a mighty army, we arise. God is at work in us, his wonders to perform. We're made of clay, but this treasure is within. He turns our weaknesses into his opportunities so that the glory goes to him. Rejoice, rejoice, Christ is in you, the hope of glory in our hearts. He lives, his breath is in you. Arise, a mighty army, we arise. Whoa, isn't that wonderful? I tell you, I can sing these songs. I've been singing them a lot going along in the car so I'd remember the words. And you know what? It doesn't matter how I start, I feel energized at the end. You know why? It's because we're singing the Word of God. And you know, in the 1980s, when I first learned all these songs, that's what we used to sing. We used to sing the Word. And we sing a bit of the Word these days, but often the songs, they're not quite the same. But notice. So notice, this treasure is within, that song says. This treasure is within. We have his treasure in our earthen vessels. Oh, I just love that. You see, we need a revelation of who we are in Christ, and we need to stand on that, and we need to never let that go. You know, many people in the world are struggling to know their identity. They don't know whether they're gay or straight. They don't know whether they're male or female. And people think their identity is in their wealth, in their job, in their divorce, in their identity, of what people have said about them, maybe when they were children, or in the abuse of their childhood. People say, I am a victim. That's not what those songs say, is it? For those of us who are in Christ, we're no longer victims, we're victors. And worst of all is actually what people have said about themselves. You know, when I was here on Friday night, I thought, this woman's preaching my sermon. And, you know, she was talking all about how we need to replace those thoughts of miserable ideas about ourselves by something positive. And do you know what? I believe that we who are born again, spirit-filled Christians, we should be the most secure people that walk this earth. Not secure in our own ability, but secure in the ability that he has given us, on the person that he has made us. Can you believe it? I don't suppose there's anybody here like this, but some Christians still think they're worthless and unworthy. I'm sure there's nobody here that thinks like that. And the thing is, in my heart, I believe that's an insult to the cross. It's an insult to what Jesus bought and paid for, and it was a terribly expensive thing that he did. And so it's not right for us to think of ourselves that we're unworthy. In Ephesians 4, it says this: we should not be like the Gentiles or the unbelievers who walk in the darkness and the futility of their minds. And the Passion Translation says that we shouldn't walk in the empty delusions of our minds, deluded by who the world says we are, deluded by all of the things that are around us that tell us that it's all hopeless and negative. And what a dull and worldly low life we will live if we think all those lies about ourselves. You see, God intends us to give up that kind of low life and enter into the exciting life that he has intended for us. The secret to living that high life, I believe, is to give up low life thinking. We now need to start thinking how God thinks and see ourselves as God sees us. Ah, but you say, his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. You know, Scripture says we've been given the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ, and we hold the thoughts, feelings, and intentions of his heart. I love that Amplified version. So where can I find his thoughts? I find his thoughts in the Word of God. It's our rock. The Word is our rock. And the Bible clearly says that what we think will determine our lifestyle. Proverbs 23, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So what's the low life? Well, the low life is a life that's just led by worldly ideas, worldly thoughts, and it's the kind of life that we live just governed by our own human nature. And it comes out of unrenewed thinking that's from an unrenewed mind. And it's a life that believes that we are limited by our natural abilities. What a pity, after what Jesus bought and paid for, that we should live like that, that we should still think like the unsaved, we should still live like the unsaved. Because Romans 12, it tells us not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewal of our minds. You know, only revelation from God's word, which has been energized by the Holy Spirit, enables us to live that transformed life. Hallelujah. You see, when the word is quickened or made alive to us by the Holy Spirit, it becomes living, it becomes active, it becomes sharper than any two-edged sword, and that can chop everything to pieces in our lives that shouldn't be there. And the Word of God has the power to transform our minds and our thinking, and then subsequently will change our behavior. But the thinking has to come first. And if we think differently about ourselves, that'll change the way we pray. It won't just change the way we live, it'll change the way we pray, and it'll change absolutely everything we see around us, because we will see things with God's eyes. You see, I think our relationship with God could be compared to a three-legged race. I don't know whether you've ever seen or been in a three-legged race, but you have to attach your leg to the person that you're running with. And if you don't run together in unity, you'll fall over. And you know, that's how it has to be with us and God. We have to run with him. And we do this by being conscious of our joining to him, agreeing with him, agreeing with what his word says, cooperating with him, and listening to him, listening to what he wants us to do, knowing in our spirit man what he's saying, being having that internal guidance system alive that he's put in us from the moment we're saved. Amos 3 asks, can two walk together lest they be agreed? Well, of course, we know the answer's no. So if we're to walk with God successfully, we have to agree with what God says. We need to find out who we are in Christ. Now, the wonderful truth is that God is committed to recreating himself in us. He's committed to making us just like his son. And that's the whole job of the Holy Spirit when he's been put into our lives. The Holy Spirit, doesn't he? He, first of all, we get born again by the Holy Spirit, and then he cleans us up. And the Holy Spirit gives us that union with God, and it gives us a completely new daddy. And then, you see, it's not a superficial thing. We have to get the word of God from our head into our heart. It won't work if it's just something that's in our head. But when that happens, when that word becomes embedded in our hearts, we will start behaving like sons and daughters of the King. You know, if he's the King of Kings, you know who the kings are, don't you? That's us. He's the King of Kings. He means us to be kings. He wants us to reign in life through him. That's the supernatural life. And when we begin to reign in life like him, we'll become strong ambassadors of Christ. We will become change makers, and we will affect wherever we go. You know, I once taught in a school where it was very, very negative in the staff room. It was just awful. You open the door to the staff room and that horrible atmosphere hit you. And I just thought, I'm just not going to be able to work in this place because it's just so awful. And there was all sorts of bitterness and backbiting. And I said, Jesus, you and I have got to change this. You know, because God wants to partner with us. It's not just us and it's not just him, it's him and us. So what I'd do is on the way to school, I'd pray in tongues and praise the Lord, and I'd open the staff room door and I'd say, good morning. Well, you could have cut the atmosphere with a knife. And after I'd done this two or three days, one of the teachers says, oh, for goodness sake, Margaret, stop being so cheerful. I just said, I can't help it. And do you know what? That whole atmosphere changed. One of the teachers who was particularly negative retired to her classroom, never came into the staff room again. So, we are atmosphere changers. We can do it, not in our own strength, but by that anointing and that power that's in us. You know, whatever you do, wherever you go, you are, well, a bomb ready to drop. Yes. My mother, I was born in 1944, and a bomb dropped 2 miles up the road from my mum and dad, and my mother was in labor and shattered the windows in our street, which might have been awful, but my mother said I was the bomb that dropped into their lives. So, and much worse than that one that dropped up the road. And you see, all creation, it says in Romans 8, all creation is waiting for the sons of God to come into their own. One other version says, they're craning their necks to see us come into our own. And how exciting when the children of God come into their own and walk in the inheritance that God has given us and become the people who he has meant us to be. And you see, when we're filled with the Spirit, we've got that new nature, and it's a nature of love. It's a nature of beautiful holiness that lives in us, Christ in us. That's the uniqueness of the Christian faith, isn't it? That we have our leader in us, not just with us. And, you know, when I got saved, Tony wasn't yet saved, and what happened to me was so radical, I just began to change. And actually, instead of just saying I loved him, I actually began to love him, which, of course, was tremendously beneficial for him, and actually had nice spin-off for me as well. So, you know, that nature, for it to be profitable, has to be given away. And we need to think, who shall I give this love away today? Who shall I give Jesus in me away to today? Because we can stand tall because he has made us the righteousness of God in Christ. Do you know that we're not just forgiven sinners? It's wonderful. I love forgiveness. I'm so grateful that God forgave me. But actually, I'm more grateful he made me the righteousness of God in Christ, because that means I can come to the throne of God boldly, without any shame, without feeling, well, I'm just not worthy to do this or pray this or whatever. And as we fellowship with the Holy Spirit and get into his word and allow that word to penetrate the depth of our heart, we will find that becomes a reality in our lives. It's so exciting. Our life is an adventure. We can, you know, I believe if people don't give their faith away, they can easily fall away from God. But if you keep giving it away, I tell you, new life flows into you all the time. And it's so exciting because this is what Ephesians 2 says, for we are his workmanship, his own masterwork, a work of art. Just think, you're a work of art. One version says, we are God's poetry. I like that. Created in Christ Jesus, reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, ready to be used for good works which God prepared for us beforehand, taking the paths which he has set so that we would walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us. You see, our new life is hidden with Christ in God. I have what I think is a good picture of that. I might need a little help. Can I have a little help, please? Okay, so, you know, this is a Russian doll. And you can imagine that the outside is Jesus. Thank you. Now that's me, because I'm in Christ. Ha! Huh? But also, Christ is in me. There we are. Now then, I've forgotten that inside my Russian doll is another little one. And another little one. And I thought, these are the good works that he'd ordained for me to do. They're all in me. They just need to be unlocked by faith. It's really exciting, isn't it? Think of the... Thank you. So I think that's a wonderful picture of our lives in Christ. And 2 Peter 1:3, for his divine power has bestowed on us everything necessary for a dynamic spiritual life. Through personal knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. You know, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in us. When I was sick, I used to say, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in me. That same Spirit is healing me. That same Spirit is bringing life. You know that song? For the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me. dwells in you. For the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me, dwells in you, and he will quicken your mortal body by the spirit that is in you. He will quicken your mortal body by the spirit that's in you. No? No? Well, never mind. But what a pity if all that potential went undeveloped. You know, we are one spirit. It says 1 Corinthians 6, we are one spirit with him. And we're seated in him, with him, in heavenly places. And the devil's under our feet. You know that one, don't you? It's under our feet, under our feet, under our feet. Satan's under our feet, under our feet, under our feet. And Jesus is Lord. No, well, maybe you should learn them, because if you feel miserable, you can do that and you won't anymore. So, one version of the Bible says we have regal freedom through the gift of perfect righteousness. He intends us truly to be the head and not the tail, to be over and not under. And he wants us to be able to say, I have been crucified with Christ. This is my favorite scripture. Favorite, because when I met Jesus in my bedroom, he appeared to me in my room. I said, Jesus, I love you. And I said, I just don't want to live my life anymore. I want you to come into my heart. I want you to live my life. I want you to live through me. I hadn't a clue that I'd got born again, and that's how you got born again. But hey, you know, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I that live, but the life that I now live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. The life of faith is what we are called to live, because his ability and his power is in us. You see, that's how we can do what he did. That's how we can become like him, because of that ability that lives in us. That's how we can heal the sick, because his ability lives in us. We couldn't heal a fly, but the power in us is what can be released by faith and bring healing to others. It's the greater one. The greater one lives in us. Amen. He's the greater one. Well, I really believe all of the things I've been saying with all of my heart. But I didn't always. How did I get there? Well, I listened to lots of people who preached it. I read books about it. And every time, got my next exhibit, every single time I read the Bible, I had a little notebook. This is an old notebook. It says 1981. So from before 1981, I've been keeping little notebooks. And in those notebooks, as I've read the Bible, I've written scriptures down that spoke to my heart. So that if I went to the dentist or somewhere, I sat in the waiting room, and I could just get my little book out and think about it and talk to myself about it. And I would think, now, what does that scripture actually mean for me? And then when I was sick, I had another little book. I wrote down all the scriptures that God spoke to me in that. And this book's about 3 years old. So you see, sometimes I had funny little cheap books, but other times I had posh ones. And if somebody bought me this for Christmas. So in here, you see, I've got all sorts of treasure that is available. And, you know, that's what I would say. I would encourage you to do that, to capture the Word of God and make it available to yourself. You know, so there's something about writing it out that does it. I know lots of people just do it on the computer. But what I have in these books is those exceeding great and precious promises that through them I might be partaker of the divine nature. So, can I have my words on the screen, please? So, I've got something to help us. In my little folder down there, I've got what I'm putting up on the screen typed out, and so that if you really feel you'd need to take one home, there's only 20, so you can. Anyway, look at these. This is who I am in Christ. I think I'll come down here because I can't read the screen over there. Who I am in Christ. I am born of God. I am set apart for God's purpose. 1 Peter 2:23. Isn't that interesting? Being born of God, subsequently set apart for his purpose. There's another way of saying that is made holy. I am a new creation. Yes. I am a co-heir with Jesus. All that Jesus bought and paid for is my inheritance. Wow. Wow. I have right standing with God. That's another way of saying we've been made righteous. I am accepted in the beloved. Do you know what? I can tell you where I was sitting when we lived in Iceland, when we were first Christians. I can remember where I was sitting, and I read that scripture, and I said to myself, I wonder if that's really true. And you know, we didn't know the word. I hate to say it, we were Anglicans. And they didn't teach you anything. And anything we learned, we had to forage for. Can I have the next one? Right. I am a temple of the Holy Spirit. So, you know, like, we're more like not static temples, are we? We're more like caravans. Because we go from place to place. But nonetheless, we're temples of the Holy Spirit. I am united with Jesus, one spirit with him. I have been crucified with Christ, and the life that I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. Thank you, Jesus. I am seated with him in the heavenly places, far above all rule and power and all authority, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. Therefore, I have authority over sickness, over sin, over demons, over the world. I am the salt of the earth. I am the light of the world. Thank you. All things work together for my good because I love God. I am called according to his purpose, which is for me to be conformed to his image and the likeness of Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Greater is he who lives in me than he who lives in the world. Is there one more? I am complete in him. Shalom. I'm shalom. That's lovely. I have the mind of Christ. I am God's masterpiece. I have the peace of God that surpasses understanding. I am God's workmanship. You know, I am more than a conqueror through, yes, is that it? Was that the end? Oh, I am more than a conqueror through him who loves me. I am an ambassador for Christ. I am strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy. That's always a good one. I have died and my life is hidden with Christ in God. Amen. You know, I just think we are utterly blessed to have all of this treasure in God's word that's available to us. Amen. You know, we've all got them at home. We've all got our Bibles. And where is your Bible? Your Bible needs to be in your heart. It needs to be imprinted in your heart. And it will be if you'll just take those simple steps. Start to meditate. You know, let the New Age steal meditation. There's nothing wrong with meditation. It's, you know, it's not New Age, it just pinched it. So let's meditate on these scriptures. I took each one of them and I said, now what does that mean? For me, that I am born again. Whoa. What does it mean? I'm set apart for his purpose. What does it mean in my daily life? What does it mean in everything I do? Because everything you do will be changed if you believe these things. And it's a wonderful thing when we believe them. So, let's make a start. Some of you know these. It's old hat to you, I know, but let's make a start. Let's go back to the beginning. Let's stand up and let's all say these scriptures. Okay. Ready, go. I am born of God and set apart for God's purpose. I'm a new creation. I am a co-heir with Jesus. All that Jesus bought and paid for is my inheritance. I have right standing with God. I am accepted in the Beloved. I'm a temple of the Holy Spirit. I'm united with Jesus, one spirit with him. I have been crucified with Christ, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. I am seated with him in heavenly places, far above all rule and power and all authority, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. Therefore, I have authority over sickness, over sin, over demons, over the world. I am the salt of the earth. I am the light of the world. All things work together for my good because I love God. I am called according to his purpose, which is for me to be conformed to his image and the likeness of Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Greater is he who lives in me than he who is in the world. I am complete in him. I have the mind of Christ. I am God's masterpiece. I have the peace of God that passes understanding. I am God's workmanship. I am more than a conqueror through him who loves me. I am an ambassador for Christ. I am strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy. I have died, and my life is hidden with Christ in God. Amen. Amen. Okay, now we're going to sing it. We're going to sing Rejoice, Rejoice. Thank you. Oh, and you can take one of these if you like. Afterwards.
Thank you. rejoice, 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 Christ is in thee, the hope.
There's going to be tea and coffee served. I just want to say, this is, you get treasure hunters, don't you? Okay, are you going to be treasure hunters? It does take some digging, it does take some effort. But have you seen, maybe some of you have seen those YouTube clips where people are on the streets and they're giving out money. They're just saying, anyone want £20? The amount of people that walk past because they're sceptical. And it's just genuine. They're just videoing it for YouTube. And they're just giving away cash. Okay, don't walk past. Don't be sceptical. Be treasure hunters. Dig deep. Put the effort in. Take the sheets. Do it. See if it works. Prove God to be who he is. Amen? Amen. God bless you.